Welcome to Let's Talk Ed. Chris and I today are going to be talking about a welcoming college. We keep on bringing back this topic every time we take a different angle. This time we thought, let's talk about the nitty-gritty from the start to the finish, and let's address things like the aesthetics of a college, because we breezed over that topic on a number of occasions, and we know, Chris, that there's so many colleges that are relying on the curb appeal, the architecture, the attractiveness.
Yeah, and obviously that plays a huge role. You know, when we buy houses, we're looking at that curb appeal. And when our students are making that major life decision of where they want to go to college, the way the college looks is really important. And the details are really, really important. Just like if you walked into a restaurant and it looked dirty and dingy and didn't look like it would be, you know, a friendly place to go eat, you're probably not going to eat there, even if you know the food is really, really good. The same goes for
college.
Well,
you don't trust that it will be good then.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, same goes for a college. If you walk into a building and, you know, the floors are dirty, you know, it looks like they haven't been cleaned, the, you know, everything is gross and all of that, it's not going to be something that's going to be super appealing to somebody to go there. We talk about our CTE programs and they're very hands-on. I remember reading an article about a college that had some welding and manufacturing, and their welding area and their manufacturing area was, it was dark, it was dirty, and it didn't have any appeal. And they scratched their heads wondering why they were struggling with enrollment there, number one. And number two, they basically could not get women into that program. And it looked like somewhere that nobody would really want to choose to be. And they went ahead and invested a lot of money into cleaning up their building, getting better lighting, modernizing it. And their enrollment changed right away for the better in that. So things like that are really, really important.
So it's no different than shopping, right? And we shop for colleges. Let's be candid. Now, there is a little bit of an exception, which is your two-year colleges. From my recollection, I think nationally about 60% of students come within 5 miles of a two-year college. But if you're in a metro area and there are colleges just about every street corner, you start seeing the impact of the curb appeal. And also for regional institutions, I think it's a very similar percentage that comes within less than 200 miles. So needless to say, people are more mobile than they were in the 19th century or even in the 1950s, right? So having an attractive campus is essential. But at the same time, you and I read in the literature about places that have invested in recreational centers, in lazy rivers, in climbing walls, in fancy restaurants. On the one hand, it's part of the appeal. On the other hand, I'm intrigued. I want to see what you think about it.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind is having something that has that wow factor. You know, if we have a lazy river, we can say we have that, and not too many other places do. You know, everybody can say we've got math, we've got English, we've got history, et cetera, et cetera. But now we're finding something that nobody else has and finding a way to do that. And you know, again, most colleges are going to have a cafeteria. They're going to have some spaces where students gather. But can we take that up to the next level and show these spaces in a way that becomes almost unrivaled? And when you have that college tour, when you come on campus and you see these things, you walk away with that wow factor and you start picturing yourself engaging in these activities and doing that. And that's one of the big points about going to college is seeing yourself at that college.
Well, I hear you. In my mind, what's going through it is, where does that appeal and the arms race start, right? Because University of X versus University of Y, you got your lazy river, I'm going to one-up beat you, and we're going to have a surf pool. And then, oop, X goes back. Well, now we're going to have a model train exhibit. And I mean, you can, just for the record, Chris,
you're playing to my enjoyment. Yes.
Right. So so on. So where does it end? Because at the end of the day, we've talked about, you and I have talked repeatedly about the upward slope of the cost of instruction, the upward slope of the tuition paid by the student, the decrease in the amount of subsidy by federal and state entities, therefore the higher the loan amounts that students are taking out. So somebody has to fund that lazy river. Somebody has to fund that fancy restaurant. So what do you think? How can we rethink it?
Yeah. And, you know, what you often end up with is higher student fees. You know, that's great that you've got the lazy river, but my student fees may be much higher at University X than it is at University Y. And, you know, you have to, I think, be very strategic about how you're going to do all of these things. And, you know, is there a demand for something like that? Does this truly fit into our campus culture, or are we trying to, you know, shoehorn something in here just to stand out from the crowd? And I think that's a bad thing. And also, are you doing that at the expense of other things? You know, sure, we have this brand new building, but all of our other buildings are crumbling to the ground because now we're not maintaining them. Or we haven't put on a fresh coat of paint in any of the rooms in 35 years because we're diverting everything over to having this climbing wall or whatever. So I think, you know, just like any other decision, you have to be strategic about it. Like, you can't just start a program, a college program, out of nowhere without putting some thought into it. You know, we use the analogy of putting an oceanography class in the middle of Nebraska at one point. Like, that probably doesn't suit itself very well to that area, but it may be very popular among students, but is it the right move? And again, you have to be very strategic about what you're doing.
Excellent point. As you're speaking, I was trying to think about the small liberal art private colleges, right, that rely entirely on student tuition and fees. And they are by far the ones that are closing more readily than the others. So how do they compete, right? Because historically, they've been known for the quality education, for the quality training, for their liberal art values. And it doesn't matter, religious or otherwise, and we're not being ideological here. How do they compete with colleges and universities that have huge endowments, that are more research-based? Do you have any thoughts? Because I am bewildered now, to be honest.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other part of this that isn't aesthetics is really demonstrating what the return on your investment is. You know, can you show really good career placement? Can you show that you have things that are going to help people, you know, get not only jobs, but good jobs, or placed into grad school or whatever? And, you know, I think part of that is when you bring students on for that campus tour, these are things that you can highlight, you know, through posters in your admission area or through, you know, like large wall graphics or, you know, maybe really good videos, things that can be highlighted on the tour. You know, conceptually, I should be able to take the same tour multiple times, and the information I get should be pretty much lockstep similar throughout. And, you know, that's a training thing for whoever is giving the tours. And, you know, again, that needs to be strategically thought out.
Yeah, somebody mentioned, I can't remember what liberal art private college, they had alumni that were retirees that were giving the tours, and they spoke about how the education helped them individually. Maybe you can say, well, I mean, somebody who graduated 40 years ago versus somebody who's, you know, toward the end of high school may not connect. But do you think that that's a good group of people to message youth, or like, how do you see it? Because we can talk about aesthetics all we want, but it's also in sealing the deal too.
Absolutely. And the other part of it too is you're also selling mom and dad on this. Mm. And, you know, they are a major influencer of where their child goes to college. And while all of the points of somebody who is retired now and, you know, in their 60s or 70s, you know, that may not fully resonate with a student, but it may really resonate with mom and dad, and they may really remember those things.
That's an excellent point. Well, folks, this week we're talking about the welcoming college from start to finish. We, in our first segment here, Chris and I talked about the attractiveness of a campus, and we finished not just talking about the aesthetics and the looks. Toward the end, we talked about the guiding tours and possibly how to make those part of the attractiveness of an institution. Thank you for joining us. We come to you almost every week, three times a week. We thank you for your partnership with us. We'd like to hear your comments, so keep them coming, please. And you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. For Chris, this is Zahi. We'll see you next time right here on Let's Talk Ed.